Well, this is Dr. Stan, back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, and of course the views of our callers. We do welcome your calls at 1-888-24-LIBERTY, that's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295, but please hold your calls unless we specifically ask for them, because we have with us from Great Britain, Dr. Richard North, and we're going to be talking about what's happening to England, the relationship between England and the United States, and the fact that both England and the United States are threatened by a group of people who have no loyalty to their nation, but are dedicated to this idea of a world government. And I would like to suggest that the major force behind the drive for world government comes from this Anglo-American establishment, call it what you will, but groups of people at the upper echelons of society in both Great Britain and the United States who have a different view, who have a different world vision, who hate national sovereignty and are dedicated to the establishment of a new world order and a new world religion. Dr. North, thank you so much for being with us. Well, why don't you give us a little of your background? We haven't talked to you before, so tell us a little bit about who you are and, of course, why you're concerned about the relationship between England and the United States.
Well, I guess, like you, I'm a patriot. Currently, I'm a parliamentary researcher working for the Royal Parliament at Westminster. I spent 4 years working in the pretender parliament, the European Parliament in Brussels. And I've been in and out of European politics for the best part of 20 years, watching, first of all, from a technical point. I came into it in an odd way through farming and agriculture generally, working with farmers, and began to realize that more and more and more decisions were not being made by our own government, but were being made in Brussels. And found it absolutely impossible to work at the ground level, and became sucked into the politics to take this monster on. And that's where I am today, doing it more or less 24/7.
Well, of course, by the monster, you mean this effort to really destroy the sovereignty of Great Britain and submerge it into the European Union, where it will be ruled not by elected representatives, but by bureaucrats, who no one knows who appoints them. They simply will rule from behind a curtain.
Absolutely. This is, and I sort of liked your introduction, because this is what it's about. Sovereignty is regarded as the great evil, and national nations and nationalities have to be destroyed. This is the central purpose of these transnational organizations, whether it's our own European Union or whether it's the United Nations. There's been a phrase coined from a name called transnationals. And basically, they're all of an ilk. They all believe in the bureaucratic managerial process of governance. They do not believe in democracy. They do not believe in nation states. And they believe they know better than everybody else, and certainly know better than elected representatives.
And of course, this is the threat that tends to submerge Great Britain into the European Union. This is the threat that threatens to submerge the United States into a United States of North America. And then, of course, eventually down to unite all of these regional areas into this new world order, ruled by a massive bureaucracy, where freedom as we know it will simply become a remembrance of things past. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest today is Dr. Richard North, who is from Great Britain, as you'll be able to tell when you hear his accent. But, of course, he is working to try to expose what's going on, and he is trying to expose the influence within the European Parliament of a force that is intent upon destroying the sovereignty of Great Britain. Now, many times people say, well, wouldn't it be wonderful if we did away with national sovereignty? Then we wouldn't have any wars. But I would like to suggest, having studied what's going on for almost half a century, that basically all of the wars of this last of the 20th century and even before were brought about and engineered and orchestrated by people who wanted to use the horror of war to justify bringing about world government. Do you really want to trust people with that sort of a morality, with the control of our lives? Because certainly when this comes to pass, as it is coming to pass in England and will soon come to pass here, why, we will have no say at all in what happens to our lives, our future, and our family. So, Dr. Richard North, please go ahead and continue. Now, the people who are listening now did not hear your initial remarks, so if you want to repeat them, why, don't be concerned.
Well, you put your finger on it. The excuse of the transies, these transnational bureaucrats, is the abolition of war. And the European Union, we've just written a book, myself and a fellow journalist, Christopher Booker, who writes for the Sunday Telegraph over here. We wrote a book called The Great Deception, and we looked at the myth surrounding the European Union. And of course, what they trying to tell us is that these great Platonic guardians emerged after the Second World War with a horror of war and decided that it was nation states, as you said, the myth that caused war, and therefore by abolishing nation states, you will abolish war. Now, in fact, the whole thing is a myth. When you look at their website and you look at the official history, and it's interesting that they do have an official history, which is actually totally different from the reality, they create this myth that the idea emerged after the Second World War. It actually emerged after the First World War, after the Great War of 1914-18, when you didn't have the United Nations, but the League of Nations.
Hold that thought there for just a moment as we bring other stations back on. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Dr. Richard North is our guest, and he is a writer, and he certainly is a researcher, trying to get the truth out to the people of Great Britain and here in the United States as well. And he was simply pointing out that this idea of world government really didn't originate with the League of, with the United Nations. It originated after the First War. With the League of Nations, in fact, it has always been my contention that the First World War was fought and intentionally prolonged so there would be as much carnage as possible so that the people of Europe and Great Britain would be willing to give up their national sovereignty and join the League of Nations. And it was only really the fact that the United States Senate refused to ratify the League of Nations that we did not have a world government a long time ago. But fortunately, the United States Senate did not want to give up our sovereignty. And the League of Nations failed, and so we had to have a Second World War, even more bloody than the first one. And out of that came the United Nations, and then this dream of a world government under a ruling elite, because that's what it's all about. Remember, democracy, if you read this history of ancient Greece and ancient Rome, as Plato said, always degenerates into despotism. And there really are people who want to rule the world. And I think they're closer to it now than at any time in all recorded history. And with that as a background, Dr. North, you pick up the story.
Yes, well, of course, the reason why the League of Nations failed, the proximate cause, if you like, was that the individual members had the veto. So that there was no government. There were people who wanted to abolish the veto. And one of those particularly was a very senior civil servant Frenchman called Jean Monnet, and he divined that as long as nation states could exercise their own sovereignty and basically say no to the to the consensus view, then there would be no central government. So he went away and concocted a plan for a United Nations-like organization, but on a regional level, i.e. Europe. He couldn't sell the idea at the time, but they waited until after the Second World War, when he, an Italian communist or former communist, Altiero Spinelli, and others grouped together, sold this idea on the back of a crisis at the time, and sold the myth that to prevent war again, this is what was needed. Of course, the interesting thing was that they were applying a model that they developed in the 20s. And by, of course, the 50s, as it was then, you had a guarantor of peace. And that was, well, not oddly enough, that was the United States underpinning NATO, underpinning world peace, making sure, actually, that there couldn't be another war. But they ignored all that. They didn't want to know that. They still had their model. And in 1957, when we saw the Treaty of Rome, they actually instilled their own European government, and it's been building ever since.
But of course, there are many people in the United States who want a European government, a strong, all-powerful European government, which really doesn't make any sense. Why would Americans be concerned about, what happens in Europe, other than the understanding that these Americans have no loyalty to our country? Their loyalty to this internationalist dream, and certainly the European Union is a stepping stone onto the world government.
Well, there's two reasons why initially, and you may or may not know, that the European Union, as was then, was actually partly financed by the CIA and the State Department.
Absolutely. In fact, the Americans have been pushing this idea with our tax money for a long period of time, and this has been the major driving force behind so much of what's going on, has been the American CIA and the American government.
Yeah, well, the State Department, actually. You wonder whose side they're on, but it's not America's, according to some people, but that's right.
But we have a lot of friends over in Europe. I should say they have a lot of friends in England who work through something known as the Royal Institute for International Affairs, which is the British counterpart of our invisible government, which is the Council on Foreign Relations, from which our Secretary of State always comes from, from which the head of the CIA and the chairman of the Federal Reserve Board, they all come from this same little clique, and they have for almost half a century.
Yes, of course, actually set up by the same group of people, World Federalists,
right,
in the 20s. And yes, they have always pursued this idea of world federalism. Yes, Europe was always regarded by some as the first step towards a series of regional governments, which would then amalgamate, and you're quite right, there are still people who have this broad ambition, now focused through the United Nations, of a world government. It can't be denied, it does exist. But of course, the problem here is that they never declare that agenda. It's always done piecemeal. And the cleverness of it is that they keep the national institutions in place. For instance, we still have our own parliament. We still have the Queen. We still have a Prime Minister. And we have all the bureaucracies, the ministries of state, and what have you. But in fact, most of the law is made in Brussels. And then it's given a British label, and it appears to be, to the ordinary citizen, it appears to be British law.
And of course, I think this is the thing. It's all based upon deceit and deception, and these people consistently lie about what their objectives are.
The Americans, of course, immediately after the war, thought, and there were a lot of innocents abroad, who thought it would be a jolly good idea to have, instead of all these different tiny nations. I mean, don't forget, the smallest country in Europe is, 180,000 people, which is smaller than some of your towns. there are 25 countries in the European Union, and there were certainly American companies and American administrators who thought, well, it would be much easier if you had the famous, what became Kissinger's, one telephone number for Europe. It would be easier commercially, it would be easier to work on foreign policy issues, and it would be easier to negotiate. So that some of the pressure came from that. Other of that pressure, of course, did come from a more deep-seated worldview that the world as a whole should be organized through a series of interlinked central governments. And they forgot that one thing, that democracy only exists within the framework of a nation state. These people are not democrats. They don't believe in democracy and set about to undermine, and eventually they hope destroy it.
And I think that's really true. But, of course, they cannot let the people of Great Britain know, because the people of Great Britain are fiercely nationalistic, as are the people of France, as are the people of so many of the countries of Europe. So everything has to be done by deceit and deception, because these people have no honor. They don't. Certainly, it's entirely pragmatic. And they see nothing at all wrong with lying, as long as, it furthers their goal, their ambition, and their power.
It's an interesting sort of lying, because it isn't just the outright untruth. It is also what they don't say. For instance, we often see, I'll give you an example, on a very technical, ordinary level, where Britain is setting up, and I'll come to the punchline, but you have to see where it comes from. Our minister stands up, a minister for the environment, stands up and says, we are going to build at enormous cost a huge network of very, very expensive incinerators for our waste. And you think, oh yes, right, well, you can agree or disagree, but this is a British government initiative, you think. Only when you delve into it, you realize that it's a Brussels initiative. But rather than position themselves, the British government position themselves as being seen to be told by Brussels what to do, they pretend it's their own initiative. And then they create their own laws, which are actually just copying out the Brussels laws. And all the time, you've got this level of deception where Europe isn't talked about, Brussels isn't talked about, the courts that fine people for not obeying Brussels law still have the Queen's coat of arms over them. They still have their garments and their traditions and everything, because everything else looks normal. Do you remember the old science fiction film? It was British, but you might have heard about it, about Quatermass.
No, I really don't know that.
This was a science fiction story, actually, where aliens came in and took over the bodies of the rulers. And they'd actually taken over the world, but they'd actually taken over people's bodies, so you didn't actually realize that we'd had an alien invasion. And that is what this game is like. You go and see a British minister, he's actually working for Brussels. You go and see a British civil servant, he may be in his White Hall office, but he's working for Brussels. You go to the courts for justice, they're administering Brussels law. You pay your taxes, that money, an awful lot of that money, goes to Brussels and then comes back to you under Brussels rules.
Well, I think that the tragedy is, how do you get the British people to understand this? It's with the control that you have over there, with the BBC and the government control, how do you get the truth to the British people?
Well, the internet is going to be our savior, I think. We run a blog called EU Referendum, and we're one of many. Oddly enough, we're eternally grateful. This is actually an American invention.
All right, we're going to be back in just a moment with Dr. Richard North. We're going to be talking about the problems in Britain, but you see, they're simply a mirror image of the very serious problems we have here in America, and all generated by our own Central Intelligence Agency.
Have you ever wondered what the Vietnamese War was really all about? Why America, the most powerful nation in the world, spent 10 years fighting in Southeast Asia against a nation the size of the state of Mississippi, and America lost that war? Do you really believe that happened by accident? There's so much to the story of Vietnam that the American people have never really known. And in our four-tape set, Vietnam, the Untold Story, you're going to get the information that you need to understand the tragedy of that event. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for Vietnam, the Untold Story, the story of what really happened in Vietnam that has been suppressed from the American people for the last 20 years.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. In the 1970s, there was a group of Italian immigrants in the small town of Rosetto, Pennsylvania, who drew worldwide attention for their unusual cardiovascular health, despite their pasta diets. I recently uncovered the fact that their unusual health was attributed to the precious red wine which they imported from Italy. Today we know this as the French paradox, the fact that the French exhibit greater cardiovascular health, despite their fatty diet, because of the red wine they drink. Wouldn't it be great to enjoy the health benefits of red wine without the calories, alcohol, and sulfite preservatives? Well, now you can with Longevinex, the world's first stabilized red wine molecules, preserved in an airtight capsule just like in a sealed bottle of red wine, equivalent to 5 glasses of the best red wine. Call 866-405-4000 to order Longevinex for healthy aging without the calories and alcohol. 866-405-4000.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Tierney. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done: get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap, it's a miracle.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and our guest this afternoon, Dr. Richard North, who's an author, a researcher, who's trying to awaken the people of Great Britain to the very real threat, far greater than the nation has ever known before, because the threat is from not without, is from within, and it is the treasonous actions of the people of the key positions of government who are intent upon destroying Great Britain and merging it into the European Union, a stepping stone to merging it, of course, into this world government that's coming. So pick up the story there, Dr. North. Certainly trying to reach the people of Great Britain, you were saying how effective the Internet is, but certainly it's a wonderful means of communication, but how are you going to get the people to get onto the Internet? How are you going to even make them know that there's a very real problem?
It is. That is the million-dollar question. and we're watching very closely what's happening in America. You almost certainly will be familiar with the concept of the blog, the weblog.
Right, right.
And that really took over in the States at the time of the election, the presidential election, of course. And so some of the best sites are taking 500,000 plus hits a day. Well, the sort of best of British is perhaps making 2,000-3,000 hits a day, so that we're small beer. But generally, on these trends, we're years behind America, but we eventually do follow. And I'm hoping that we of course need programs like yours. We have this terrible broadcast monopoly. We don't have the Fox News, the Dr. Stan type, Radio Liberty. We need this sort of thing, and alongside it, the internet. And we hope that if we plug away, eventually, and there's not much else left to us, I think, we will get through to the people. Information, we think, is the key to this. Information is the key to democracy. And to be able to challenge the monopoly of information and gradually get through to people, I think you eventually tilt the balance. And short of taking up arms, which is hardly realistic in the UK, they've disarmed us all, there doesn't seem a lot else that we can do, but we remain hopeful.
Well, we carry a book. It's called The Anglo-American Establishment. It's the story of Cecil Rhodes and Lord Milner, mm-hmm. who was the dominant figure in Great Britain at the time of the First World War and up in well into the 1920s. And Milner and Rhodes decided long ago that the key to accomplishing their goal, which was world government, was to gain control of the media in Great Britain. And they set out to do that. And of course, well, Rhodes had a great deal of money and connections with people who had a great deal of power. And they set out, and for many years they controlled the Times. Is the Times pretty well on the other side from the, you know, your side and the source of integrity and freedom?
Oh, the Times is not the newspaper it ever was and once was. We've got two elements. One is the inadequacy of the Times and all the broadsheets, actually, for serious reporting. Most of the editors are very reluctant to deal with Europe properly. But also there's another phenomenon which is perhaps more dangerous, is this dumbing down of the media, where they become more or less part of the entertainment industry, to the point where it's getting almost impossible to get news through the established media sources. It is so limited and so constrained you will get a trivial story in the grander scheme of things. We had a footballer die, George Best, recently. Now, to a lot of people, that's news because he's a famous footballer in the 60s. Fine, but you get 12-page supplements, and page 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of the newspaper is given over to this story. And the rest of the world's news is just squeezed out, and this happens again and again and again and again and again. We're just not getting the news. Most people are kept in ignorance the issues which affect them.
Well, of course, they do that here in America. Of course, we have five mega corporations that control our media, our Bertelsmann, Disney, Fox, Viacom, and AOL Time Warner. And they play the same games here. Everybody knows about O.J. Simpson, and everybody knows about Lacey Peterson, but they emphasize all of the unimportant issues and the really important issues that will affect the survival of our nation and of your nation as well. Are simply put down the memory hole and almost never mentioned here in what was once Free America. We'll be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty to continue our talk with Dr. Richard North from Great Britain.
Well, if there's any one tape that you should hear, it's my talk on geopolitics, an untold story that is vitally important if America is to survive as a free nation. It goes into the background of the forces that have created the wars of the 20th century, the Boer War, the First World War, the Second World War, Korea, Vietnam. We go into the ideological and the spiritual battle behind the forces that have moved America from crisis to crisis and are currently undermining the very fabric of our society. That number again, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and the tape, Geopolitics. It is vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of my talk on geopolitics.
Sophisticated investors are buying gold and silver today because the dollar has lost almost 50% of its value in relationship to the euro, and the price of gold and silver has increased almost 40%. If you're interested in learning more about precious metal investing, why don't you call Bo at 831-423-0177. That's 831-423-0177, or visit him at Elliott's Stamp and Coin Shop in downtown Santa Cruz at 141 South River Street in the San Lorenzo office building, which is located between Trader Joe's and the Signature Twin Movie Theater. Bo's telephone number is 831-423-0177. That's 831-423-0177. And he's located at 141 South River Street in the San Lorenzo office building. And if you mention you heard about Elliott Stamp and Coin Shop on Radio Liberty, why, you'll get a 15% discount on some non-investment items.
Leading-edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high-quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest is Dr. Richard North from Great Britain, and he has recently written a book called The Great Deception, going into the background, of course, with this whole move to destroy British sovereignty. And, of course, while the British people have their attention focused on what's happening in Iraq, because they have their troops stationed there, and they argue back and forth whether Tony Blair was really honest with the British people when he came out and talked about the weapons of mass destruction, so it is here in America. We debate back and forth, should we pull out of Iraq, should we stay in Iraq, and you must understand, we're discussing all the wrong issues. I mean, the real issue is we're losing our freedom here at home, and they focus our attention on Iraq. It's a wonderful diversion, just as Vietnam was a wonderful diversion, to keep us from understanding what was happening here at the United States. What about the attitude in Great Britain towards British involvement in Iraq? Have you ever considered this is really just a major diversion, so people aren't really paying any attention to the progressive loss of freedom at home?
It is certainly sharply polarized. Interestingly, at the general election which we had last year, you would have thought with the vitriol and the public concern about the war that it would have had an effect on the election, because Blair, our Prime Minister, was hugely unpopular with his own party and with probably the majority of voters. Yet it did not impact on his election result. It's a very strange phenomenon, and I'm not sure that I fully understand it.
Well, do you have electronic voting machines over the air?
No. It's the old ballot box.
All right, well, that's a good way to go.
Certainly, domestic issues did play, but this is actually the game. Perhaps we play it differently outside of the pond, but everything's narrowed on a very limited number of subjects: schools, education, hospitals, our National Health Service, law and order, in particular police, and the welfare state. So that the whole focus is on of the whole election is entirely focused on this incredibly narrow range of subjects. They don't talk about foreign policy. They don't talk about border issues of Europe. That's a no-no. They don't talk about the environment, because that's actually run from Brussels. All major issues, simply not discussed. And the politicians, more or less bread and circuses, you know, try and keep the population focused on this narrow range. Okay. They won't debate other issues, and therefore they control the vote by who's going to offer more money or more handouts or more police on the streets or whatever. Anything but the major issues.
But of course, the difficulty is that Great Britain is having the same problems as we are. In fact, I'm understanding that many of the debates going on, in at least within the elite in Great Britain, are, will we have to raise the retirement age to 67 or 69 to try to keep our underfunded and incredibly inefficient pension system going? Because, you know, there's no way, since they've discouraged people from having children, to be able to fund all the old people. Unless we, of course, kill the older people off, but we're going to have to just raise the age of retirement. My understanding is that they're talking about going to 67 or even 69 in Great Britain. Have you heard that?
Oh, very, very much so, and it's a very vibrant debate at the moment. Mind you, if you remember, the person who actually introduced the 65 pension age was Bismarck, 1896. And what he was trying to offer was the core of a welfare state, but he set the age at a time then when about 90% of the people would be dead already.
Well, that was the whole idea.
Indeed.
And I really think, of course, the way to make our Social Security system efficient would be to raise the age of retirement to about 80, and then we wouldn't have to worry about all these details about financing it. It's going to be a little hard to sell to people on that, but if you understand that they have, here in the United States, about a $50 trillion deficit for what they promised and what they can pay, and they're simply lying about it. But they can't tell the American people, and I suspect they can't tell the British people, that the whole welfare state is a fraud. It just doesn't work, and it will not work. It's the same thing. They tried similar things in ancient Greece, and they tried it in ancient Rome, and they always went bankrupt and it ended up in a dictatorship.
Well, what is a real... getting to be a really aggressive issue here is that the state sector now has been growing. I mean, our Chancellor Gordon Brown and Prime Minister claim that they've been increasing jobs, increasing employment. Well, actually, since they were first elected in 1997, they have put 680,000 people on the state payroll. Now, we talk about a pension age, a retirement age of 65, but the state sector retires at 60. And a lot of them actually get early retirement. They get a fully funded pension from the taxpayer. Yet, we are having to work harder and longer to pay larger and larger pensions for a state sector which is actually growing daily to the point where it isn't going to be ordinary people, but it's our rulers, the bureaucrats, who are awarding themselves these huge pensions, living off our backs. And it's actually working out now that if you're a state employee, you're going to have a life expectancy 2 to 3 years on average longer than somebody working in the private sector, because they're working us into the ground.
Well, of course, eventually, well, the people just aren't going to put up with this. But right now, of course, we have the same thing here. And all they have to do here in the United States is organize their union and then, of course, get people elected to the office who will give government employees large pensions. They did that down in San Diego in a county down there so that the government employees, the police, firefighters and all, would get 90% of their retirement. They could retire, I don't know, 55 or 58, something like that. And actually, the county is bankrupt. It's frankly bankrupt. They got a $1.2 billion deficit that they could never pay off.
We're common there. It sounds good, and of course, once the state sector gets so huge and organized, I mean, way back in Thatcher's times in the 70s, 80s, the big unions were the industrial unions, the miners, the steel workers, transport workers. Now these sectors are a pale shadow of themselves, and the really big unions are the state employee unions, and they can hold the government to ransom, and indeed they do. That there was a suggestion by the government that they might increase the pension age for state employees, immediately threatened with a strike, and they backed off so fast you can see the scorch marks on the road outside Whitehall. And we are being bled dry simply to keep the state payroll going, and then this huge unfunded pension requirement, which will keep us locked in forever. And I'm sure it's the same here. If you actually put the funding on the table, and so that's part of your debt, we would actually be bankrupt just like you.
Right. Well, it's only really a matter of time before the time comes to pay the piper. But you see, the average American doesn't understand that. They honestly believe that government can provide for the people without the realization that neither the British government nor the American government has any money. The only money it has is what it takes from us by force, or what it prints, or what it can borrow from other countries. That's the only source of money that they have. And they don't want to increase the taxes here because they don't want to get the people unhappy. And so they keep printing more and more money. And by so doing, they simply destroy the value of everybody's currency. And of course, when America's currency begins to fail, then the whole world economic system will begin to fail, because we are the reserve currency for the rest of the world, and people rely upon the stability of the American dollar. And that can only exist when you have, you know, people who are acting responsibly in government. And I don't see much of that. In fact, it was Aristotle who had written about a fiat money system similar to what we have. And writing long before Christ was born, he said there's absolutely nothing wrong with fiat money as long as you have perfect authority and godlike wisdom in kings. And I always ask my listeners, do you honestly believe that we have godlike wisdom in the White House today? Because if we don't, then the fiat money system will not work. And believe me, I think it's beginning to collapse as we speak today. And with that, of course, the hopes and dreams of so many people who think that they're going to be able to retire and live happily ever after.
I'll tell you a personal story, Dr. Stanley, that sort of illustrates the way it's going. I live in northern England, and we live on the edge of a council estate, what we call public housing. And we've been suffering from a mini crime wave for as long as I can remember. My house has been burgled 4 times. You're lucky if you see the police, and then it's the day after. And late last year, just when I was due to sign the check to pay for the local tax, which also pays for the police, my wife's car got broke into. And I've just had about enough. We get no service from the police, but every year they're coming with their hands out asking for more and more money. So I withheld the tax to pay for the police. I said, you know, they don't call themselves a police force. They used to call themselves that. They now call themselves a police service. And they call us customers. So I said, right, well, I'm a customer. I'm not getting the service, so I'm not paying for it. But a month later, I had two policemen at my door at midnight on a Saturday, and when I didn't answer the door, they broke through the window, came in, arrested me, took me down, locked me up in the local police station, and I was there till Monday.
What was the charge against you?
No charge. They'd done it deliberately, locking me up then, because they couldn't put me in front of a magistrate until the Monday, or they couldn't get the bank. My wife couldn't get to the bank because they closed over the weekend. So it was just deliberate, aggressive harassment.
I think they call it thuggery, but go ahead.
Yeah, quite. Very, very much so. And this is actually... You can murder people in this country, you can indulge in all sorts of thuggery, you can break windows, you can steal, shoplifting they don't bother about, all sorts of crimes they don't bother about. But if you don't pay your taxes to keep them going, no effort is too great for them to bring you to book. They're locking up 80-year-old pensioners for not paying their local taxes, and you see thugs roaming free with absolutely no control over them at all.
And what you're seeing then is beginning the implosion of Christian society in Great Britain.
Yeah.
England was once the model of stability, but it was once a moral and Christian society. It's no longer, and the same thing is happening here in America. Well, before we go on, let's get your website out so people would know how to get in touch with you and your blog.
Yes, they're very simple. It's one word, all one word, EU referendum.
EUreferendum.com. All right, EUreferendum.com, and of course you can get Dr. Richard North's material there, and he certainly feels very much as we do about what's going on. He loves Great Britain as I love America. And he wants to save Great Britain, and I want to save America. The trouble is, there is an Anglo-American establishment. There are elitists, both in his country and in ours, who have a different dream, who have a different goal. Well, my feeling is because they worship a different God, but maybe they don't even know that they worship that God. Under any circumstances, they are willing to betray their countrymen. They are willing to betray their heritage with this idea of the New World Order. Would that be a fair statement?
Yeah. They have no loyalty to the country, no loyalty to the people. They are our masters. Our job is to do as we're told and to pay their bills.
Right. Well, all we can do is keep trying to reach them. And if you can get your people over there to listen on the Internet to Radio Liberty, we're on 5 hours a day. And, of course, we cover this same subject time and time again from different points of view. And we try to explain it to the people here in the United States, to the people in Great Britain, to the people who actually listen. We know we have listeners in Norway and in Sweden and on the continent, and certainly in New Zealand and Australia. Try to make them understand that behind this whole move towards world government are powerful spiritual forces that really will destroy our culture as we've known it here. And, of course, England and America were both built on a Judeo-Christian heritage, Judeo-Christian foundation. And so many of the ideas of freedom that we have here in America originated with English authors. So there's always been a close relationship between your country and ours. But unfortunately, there is another relationship that most people don't understand about, and that is the Anglo-American establishment. And we have a book by that title, written by Professor Quigley, who was Bill Clinton's mentor. And he goes into the background of this small but very secret, selective group that has a different agenda, a different dream. We've got about 2 minutes. Would you like to wrap up the program?
Yes, I read that book. I used it in my own book in the Great Deception, and you're absolutely right. We called it, right at the beginning of this program, the Transies, the Transnationals. And they across the waters, are the greatest threat to liberty, democracy, and our own very livelihoods. And you're absolutely right to draw attention to them. It's something we must focus on, because if we don't, we are finished as independent, free people.
Well, I know you have a small group of people over there that are working, and I just hope that your numbers are increasing, your influence is increasing. I know here in America, more and more people are becoming aware of what's going on. And, of course, if we can begin to awaken the Americans, hopefully you can begin to awaken the English, and we can head this off before it gets to the point of no return.
I think we're at one, and I think certainly we look to America, who's rescued us from fascism and from communism. We now have common cause. The trans is, that is the battle that we must take on, recognize, and win. It's going to be the most difficult battle we've ever fought. But, my God, it is important.
Well, God bless you, and I look forward to having a chance to talk to you again sometime in the not-too-distant future.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. Bye-bye,
and our guest has been Dr. Richard North, and, of course, EUreferendum.com is his website, EUreferendum.com. Go there, get his information. Bye-bye, and God bless you, sir.
Bye-bye.
Now, most people laugh at the idea that there is or has been a secret societies. I wanted to tell you about a tape we have. It's a talk I gave before the Concerned Women of America some years ago, and it basically goes back into the background behind the secret society, which was formed in England and eventually came to America and came to be known as the Council on Foreign Relations. It goes into the background of Cecil Rhodes, and how does that secret society that he created impact on you today? If you read the works of Professor Carol Quigley, who was Bill Clinton's mentor, you'll understand that Professor Quigley is probably one of the leading experts today on history, but also a man who had the courage to speak out. You need to get the four-tape set, The Secret Government, to understand what Professor Quigley taught Bill Clinton. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because America is under attack today.
When was the last time you used Pure Soap? I mean real, hard-to-find, all-natural Pure Soap that contains no dyes, perfumes, deodorants, or antibacterials. Probably never, right? Hey folks, Michael Trudeau here, and I want to tell you about my friend Marty. He's the owner and founder of the Calben Soap Company. For the past 55 years, the Calben Soap Company's been making triple-concentrated Pure Soaps exclusively for healthcare professionals and hospitals. Now for the first time, Calben Pure Soap is available factory-direct to you and your family. Calben Pure Soap is made from all natural ingredients. It's earth-friendly and it's safe. Call the Calben Soap Company today toll-free at 1-800-340-7091. That's 1-800-340-7091. Save up to 85% off supermarket and retail store prices. Visit them on the web at calbenpuresoap.com or call for information at 1-800-340-7091. That web address again is calbenpuresoap.com. Try Pure Soap once, and I guarantee you'll never use anything else.
You know, when I was growing up, my parents weren't worried about our education. We were taught the basics of math and English, science and history, the joy of art and music, and the need for sports. And our generation turned out leaders in every field. But as a parent today, I am concerned with my child's education. That's why I chose VHM Christian School. I know that at VHM, my children are getting a quality education with a biblical foundation. I'm not worried whether they'll be prepared. I know they are. VHM gives my children the tools to succeed and instills moral values. There are so many issues for me to be concerned about. I'm glad my children's education is not one of them. Won't you call VHM today? Your child is worth it. Call 475-4762. That's VHM Christian School at 475-4762.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and to really understand what we're talking about, what are these groups? We carry the book Anglo-American Establishment, written by Professor Carol Quigley, who was Bill Clinton's mentor. And he told Bill Clinton about who really runs the world. We have the book Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time, and you can get that by itself or with the Tragedy and Hope special. Or you can actually substitute the Anglo-American Establishment if you want to by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Professor Quigley was a professor at both Princeton and Harvard before he went to Georgetown University. He had researched the secret society that Cecil Rhodes created. that eventually came to America and became the Council on Foreign Relations. Now, most people in the CFR don't understand what its real goal is. Its real goal is to destroy American national sovereignty and emerge us into a world government that works in concert with its British counterpart, which is the Royal Institute for International Affairs, which Dr. Richard North had known about. And the fact that most people don't understand the background of these organizations, or that they really came out of the occult. In fact, Cecil Rhodes and Lord Milner, both two of the four original members of the Secret Society formed in 1891 were Masons. The third member was a man named William Stead, who was into theosophy and spiritualism. And, of course, we're indebted to William Stead because he was thrown out of the society because he objected to the Boer War. He thought it was foolish to try to bring about world peace by going to war. The other people thought that wars were fine. That's how you'd bring about world peace. So William Stead did write about the secret society, and we have his diary and the other articles he wrote. And he's very, very clear. They knew exactly what they were doing. They were creating a secret society to take over control of the world. And if you'd like to get a copy of Cecil Rhodes' Confession of Faith, we have it. We'll be glad to send it to you free of charge if you give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. Now, the other thing is that you can really help to get people to understand this. If you have my talk on the Brotherhood of Darkness, it's been available on video, but we're going to put it on DVD, and you'll have one chance right now. Within the next day or two, we'll cut this off. But we're trying to get a certain number of people to put up $99 each, and they will get them. When we get the DVDs, 25 DVDs of the Brotherhood of Darkness, that's 25 of the Brotherhood of Darkness DVDs, and we'll ask you to, we'll put up $99, pay for shipping and or tax if there is any, and you'll have 25 DVDs that you can utilize, you can lend out to people, and if they listen to this story, they'll begin to see how it all fits together. It's probably the best talk we've ever given. I know I had one lawyer, and I've told the story before, but he called me, he told me he'd watched the video six times, and he learned something new each time. And you will as well. It's well worthwhile rewatching, and especially if you have 25 of them. But here's an opportunity. You don't want you to give them to other people. You want to lend them to other people and really get them circulating. But you have to understand, there is not one organization. There is a myriad of organizations, but they all have a common goal, a new world order, a new world religion, and they are all energized by the same spiritual forces. And unless you understand the spiritual forces behind this movement, you can't understand anything going on in the world today. And there's some people will try to talk you out of that, out of believing that, and of course that's their right. But I've been at this 43 years, well over half of my life. And the longer I live, the more convinced I am that there really is a spiritual battle going on for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. So if you'd like to join us in this epic struggle, why, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Of course, we hope many of you will join the Radio Liberty family. We hope a certain number of you will want to make that one-time pledge and get the 25 copies of the Brotherhood of Darkness DVD, the first time it's been on DVD. And then, of course, we ask you to pray for America, to pray for revival. Please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection.